Et lux perpetua. 1. We staked our claim on the shore. These forces, these small forces shaping this foot of coast, and small forces elsewhere shaping their respective feet of coast. My own feet mired in infirmity here. My own feet sired in infinity here. Buried in the wet remnants of memories, I feel those same forces lapping up and washing away my own particular shore. Standing in what used to be my demarcation? Declaration? Who knows? I know that I was abandoned by my fellow scriptors. I cannot keep repeating myself in impermanent bliss, for the tide always wins and washes my words away. And those scriveners who deserted my sinking islands, they float just out of reach, held aloft by delusions of mediocrity. There is something to be said for writing in the sand. Impermanence is better than nothing at all. I wrote these words, and even I do not believe them. My fine floating friends, they make letters in the water with gracious hands. They draw oaths in the foam with tapered fingers. They do not comprehend the short span of these promises. At least I can offer this sand, which will hold a word or two before it is consumed. It can hold three words quite well if you write them over and over, and choose those three words carefully. For you see, even a 14-year-old girl knew better than to accept a pledge sworn by the moon. But yet, her fate was no different. 2. I am sitting on the steps and writing this poem. 4 lifetimes stroll past arm in arm with 15 pages. When I look up again, a boy is there watching me write. "Hello," I say. "What are you writing?" he asks. "Words, words, words." "Why?" "It's all I was given," I say. "Some people get wealth, some love, I words." "I would like to be given words," he says. "I've never thought of it as a gift," I say. He asks, "What is it then?" I tell him about being a boy of his age, of wearing a hat that was too big, playing a violin that was too big, and playing for a girl with a smile that was too big, a song that was too small. He did not understand. I spoke of having to write one's thoughts down and having to pretend that you cared about the things that troubled you, of watching couples walk by and remembering when I needed help to make my hands as cold as they now are. He did not understand. I told him that once you have drunk from your own imagination, no earthly drink will satisfy your thirst afterwards. That once you have drunk from this well of truth, the lie that is life will not satisfy you again. He did not understand. He still wished for more than these words, and no collection of words I could gift him with would satisfy him. He left me there, bathed in frustration. Can it be that life had undone even one so young as this? And then that voice again. Now we're getting somewhere. 3. Bring me an honest woman, and I will find you an honest man. Though your search would last eternity, mine would stretch longer still. I set out in the streets one night. I held a lamp aloft, my eyes squinting for the goal. One better than I had quested thus before, with much the same result. For you see, blacks and whites, truths and lies, loves and indifference, all converge into this dull gray fog that permeates our existence and keeps us from fulfilling our quest, lamp or no. This mist of belief, disbelief, and rebelief that is around us even now. Every word you misconstrue is another wisp of smoke, confounding communication. So breathe deep. It cannot hurt you. But hope it will numb you to the unnatural shocks which are to come. To your unnatural shocks which are to come. We've seen it all before. We've heard it all before, and anyone who accepts a smile and a solemn word merely has another lesson to be learned. 4. Rock-a-bye, baby, thy cradle is green. Father's a nobleman, mother's a queen. You'll be taught by the great God machine the great sacred lie which is nearly obscene. For groom bearing black and bride wearing white will make gray the vows which color their night.